Dracula. I bid you welcome.
Ah, yes. Good old Ramones. And I think sedation might be what some people want in their entertainment. But I kind of doubt it, considering how emotionally stimulating new entertainment is now. It seems so slam-packed with extreme effects, music, drama, that the story is pretty much zilch. I know I got one echo that someone liked Julia and Barnabas screaming at each other in my 13th episode. I just thought, gosh, well, any thoughts on what they were screaming about? Oh well, at least I heard something. And I am grateful to hear just about anything. I hear so little. So I posted on Facebook I was feeling silly about these extracurricular podcasts, but I'd rather just get the feedback to boost me to make more episodes proper. It's starting to feel like that joke about seances and the DS annotation videos, where the answer to everything is, have a seance! This isn't working? Have a seance! Whereas in my case, I don't know what's happening. Make a podcast! Got a new idea that might get people excited and then fizzle into nothing? Make a podcast! In this podcast, I want to read you some of the things I'm hearing outside of Facebook, outside of review boxes, and outside of the internet. And those review boxes are pretty darn empty most of the time, anyway. Yes, I've been mailing CDs to people, old pen pals and new pen pals, and I'm getting far more discussion and feedback. I'm also getting correspondence. Now, perhaps when you live most of your time on Facebook and just sift through the memes and articles, thinking that's the way the world works now? No, actually, that's your environment, chosen or otherwise. Some of us are rather tired of wading through all the extras, actually. This is one of those things you wonder if you're going to regret having spent so much time on when life begins to catch up with you. Which is why I'm calling this podcast, How Soon Is Now? And because after 3 years, I keep getting the lazy advice of, be patient. I'm also adding the blasted date when I made the text easily accessible, February 14th, 2012. As for being patient, that's not good advice to give me, because when I'm on Facebook, I'm a creator, so sometimes I'll call other writers creators. Even though I'm doing audio and all of these things, you know, I'm like a whole production crew here. But people tell me be patient after over 3 years. Now, then I see my colleagues, and they're tapping their toes. I just put my chapter up 2 days ago. Why haven't I received a review? And I'm sitting here like, yeah, I think that I got this angst covered, ladies. Just... So yeah, the be patient thing. Go tell them. Don't tell me. Now, before I get to the letters and correspondence, I want to go over something I've discovered on this perilous journey. Remember how I said in my first intro, I knew Barnabas Collins was dearly loved and was a little shocked at how dearly loved. Well, now I've come to the zillion Facebook Dark Shadows groups and have been even more shocked at how that character is so severely despised. So many of these people behave like the guy is just this plain old man on any soap opera who goes around chasing young women.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
Hello. Dracula? Anyone? Vampire? Anyone? Tends to go with the territory. And goes with the territory for a good reason. Multiple Dracula stories. Loses the woman he dearly loves. Finds her in another woman. And if you want a fun example, Love at First Bite, 1979. When Renfield and Vladimir bring up Mina Harker. But I lost her in that damn London fog. Ah, yes. Victorian darling. Mina Harker. Kitty Soames, anyone? Another thing I discovered was a ton of writers over the years have written Julia Barnabas in their stories, not because they particularly wanted to, but it was to cater to popularity. Some worry they either won't get read or won't get reviewed if they don't do it. Ah, yes. Well, we all know Dan Curtis created Dark Shadows for the sake of conformity, right? No. And even Julia Barnabas fans shake their heads at that idea. They'd rather the creator respond to their own calling, their own creativity. For myself, I was damn fed up with Jason McGuire on the show because he was so greedy and manipulative and he straight up owned it. You know, like I said in my second intro, go away! Just making this a regular soap opera. It's supposed to be a spooky one. He enjoyed being horrible to people. Totally enjoyed it. Then Barnabas came on, and I was really unimpressed, as aforesaid, but also very curious. Seemed gentlemanly enough. Had that romantic allure. And I wasn't turned on by it, I just knew it was there. I'm the kind of person who likes fishnets just aesthetically. I'm not turned on by them in that way. So it's that kind of thing. But then, with Barnabas, that dark, evil side came out with this total pain of something that had happened and people he'd lost. I started almost yelling at the screen, "Dude, what happened to you?" I'm watching him and this kidnapping issue and beating on poor Willie, and I'm thinking, what is it? What happened to make you this way? Something happened. You want this girl, you want your woman, but why go about it this way? You know, something happens to us to make us do rotten things like that. So I'm just going nuts trying to figure it out. Then, because of the introduction of Barnabas Collins, Dark Shadows was not canceled. Because if you know the show well enough, the back history, it's like, oh, they're going to cancel us. All right, bring in the vampire, and then get it all set up, and then boom, you know, out it comes. So it doesn't get canceled. And we got the 1795 backstory. And there I was. Oh, that's what happened. Okay, now I understand. And when you look over the before and after in that order, say 1795 first, and then the evil Barnabas after that, you know, he comes back. You can see it very easily. Josette and him are hosed, and Sarah is ripped away, and Barnabas' mother commits suicide, along with all the other insanity. And he's locked up and comes out later to 1967? Yeah. Head's not gonna be on so straight. Poor guy. Now, I got caught up in creating Margaret Josette Dupré almost against my will. I just wanted a little question answered. What would happen when these two were married 200 years later? I got my shocking answer, which helped a lot of things around here, as some of you know. And the novel is now over 90,000 words. That includes the hidden chapters you're not seeing. I'm saving those for later. I didn't cater to popularity. I catered to the couple, the characters, and the enthusiasm of those who love that marriage. Now, mind you, this feedback was from an adult chapter, and much of that is fairly high verbal. No vulgar word usage, nothing like that. And I received this commentary. I have read and reread this chapter, and Daryl, it's your best ever. Besides the birth of Sarah, of course. It's reading this that is staving off immense pain in my kidneys. Who knew that Barnabas and Margaret Josette Dupré could help one heal oneself. Perhaps it's the endorphins rushing to my brain. Brava. Encore. This person got back to me beyond this review. This was helping her through a wait in the ER. She was reading this in hospital. And this chapter of romance, as well as other chapters, presumably, got her through it. I find that far more rewarding than catering to popularity. So Mer, also known as a term of endearment, Madame Dalek, you are very, very welcome. And of course, I'm glad she told me that. Those are some of the things that you need to hear when you're doing this kind of thing. Helps a lot. You know, not that somebody's going through pain, but that you helped them through it. Moving forward, I'm getting the impression people are a little too fixated on the word praise when I mention constructive praise. Thankfully, recently I got word from a pal saying, you know, it was a good game changer. Like a good game switcher. And I didn't really realize at the time. I had about an hour before I had to go to work when I was doing the first intro to listen to it, you know, test listen to it on my way to work and on my way back, and I had to figure out how to edit it and all that. Yeah, the fixating on the word praise when I meant constructive praise. Then, again, being online, considering the wide stream of insults, haters, trolls, and a few control freaks I've had to deal with, the praise does help, but again, it's not what I'm looking for. So like a plant, I'm out looking for the nutrients. I'm going to bend toward the sunlight, and I'm going to stretch my roots out to the water. However, humans are extremely fond of cross-references and arguing, which is what all of that is, or just telling me, oh, that, you don't need that. Yeah. Tell yourself that, guys. Take your own advice, and good luck with it. Okay, I've pushed at this internet thing for over 3 years. And I get some feedback occasionally. Let's try pen pals and letter writers. Don't believe they exist? Again, we go back to environment. What you see and experience is not necessarily all that exists. My brother went on for years about how trick-or-treating was dying out. Well, I went out last Halloween, and years previous to that, after he had said that. He said it back in the 90s. And it certainly ain't dying out. It all depends on where you are. Now, at the time my brother made these claims, he was living near a high school between multiple old folks' homes and convalescent buildings. Not only that, but he was living on the third story of his building. Anyone get the idea that such an environment is going to bring a plethora of caped and costumed kiddies to your door on Halloween? Hence, I'm bending toward an environment that isn't eaten up by internet distractions, which is email, the telephone, and postal mail. Correspondence is very important, and the lack of it is likely why we're so out of it these days. I was writing to one of my pen pals, and I said, this is the reason we have counselors at all. When you have discussion with someone, a ton of important issues come up that one never realized before. This is why when I see someone has an actual need, going to a counselor is not going to cut it. You can't talk out something like a broken arm. You either need a splint or a freaking cast. But personal troubles and creative disillusionment is helpful with counselors, if you get the right one, and then, of course, have no one who would just be your counselor by being a bloody good friend. Likely the internet and social networks are good tools, but it looks like they're better if in tandem with the other forms of communication. And I also say that with Facebook, because sometimes those tiny boxes that we're talking to, I mean, they're just dreadful. You want like a whole page or something. And then even if you're trying to talk to somebody, you know, the notification over here and these groups and you know, and like, and then you get distracted and it's nerve-wracking. Email, better. You could just turn it off and focus one thing at a time. So we're going to get to the letters here that I've been getting. The correspondence. So first one got out of, a pen pal, North Carolina. All right, so she says, for episode one, your sound effects are great and switching between characters was very smooth. Just recently watched Clue and enjoyed hearing Wadsworth and the fun line, can you keep a secret, so can I. I love that line, made me laugh. The description of the kitchen made it easy to picture the mess. At the mention of a green floating thing that left slime everywhere, I immediately thought of the Ghostbusters theme song. I found it pleasing that they showed up in the end and captured the ghost. Wadsworth's rationalization was priceless. You guys remember how he cleaned up after that one in episode one, Parapsychology. Because I have never seen the show, some references were lost on me, but overall I think you explain things and relationships well. I'm looking forward to listening to episode two. I might do that this evening. And then a few weeks later, she got episode two and got back to me on that. For the intro, she said, "You were brave to talk about your abuse. People can be so uncaring and downright cruel when others admit to being abused, especially on the internet. When you talked about the abuse of the character Willie Loomis and how it affected your creation, it led me to think on my own writing style and abuse. I had never connected how I treat my characters and my experiences in life. Thanks for that. It really opened my eyes. The intro is really beneficial to me, and I appreciate the explanation of the characters. Plus, I love how much fun you have with it." And of course, that was back when it was fun. "As you were explaining Barnabas and Angelique's marriage, you called him a tool." That, and how you said it cracked me up. "Just a side note, when you listed the cruel things Angelique did, it put me in the mind of Scarlett O'Hara, always manipulating circumstances to get what she wants. Of course, she didn't have magic powers at her disposal. I can't stand manipulators." On to the episode. The characters choosing to believe that the green ghost was an escaped mental patient in a green coat was funny. The running gag of the microphone being held too low in the scenes is great. I'm glad you explained the coffee substitute in the intro and followed it up in the episode. I would have been lost. The fear of chamber pots. Of all the stuff these people are surrounded with, and chamber pots terrify them. That's great! She's laughing. "I enjoyed your creative way of saying Barnabas sucked the gal's blood, piercing hickey. Lastly, I find listening to your audio work peaceful when I'm not laughing." You have a nice voice in its many roles, and it all runs smoothly. So that's good. And she's still got to get to episode three. Let's see. And this is from someone that my husband met on public transportation. And he's been very helpful. And he just writes me letters. We've been sharing some writing, which I got to be careful about because I have a hard time reading. So I'm just trying to be helpful. But it's been quite difficult for me to really pay attention to other writing. And I mentioned that about a year ago, I think. So, "Dear Daryl," and he mentions that he, you know, used a Royce toll from school in the afternoon to watch Dark Shadows when it was on TV. Then says, "I thought I would write to you and find out more about what you're doing and where you are looking to take your passion. I look forward to hearing from you and finding out more about it." Now, mostly what I've gotten from him is very generous, but not quite what I was looking for. So I ended up sending him further discs. So he's currently on episode 5 or 6. I have not read this, so you're going to get a candid reading of his responses. Now, I decided that since people were just, they seem kind of lost as to what I'm looking for, because it seems to be all about praise, and I'm not looking for that, or technical critique. It's like, guys, you know, maybe I will add some stuff to episode 4 at some point. Maybe the fireplace sound effects will go in, and some of the music that I left out, I've listened on, and it's irked me, but I gotta keep going. Changing stuff in the audio, it was hard enough to create. So, technical critiquing, it's not gonna make the series go faster. Like I said, I could do a little bit of tweaking with some of those previous episodes. So every once in a while, I'll get like a technical critique, and it's okay, but it's not going to change anything that's already put down. You got to keep going. So, and I understand why people do that. They just think, oh, well, you know, if I give this helpful information, that's going to, it's a habit for whatever reason. But this is not only free entertainment, it's costing me, and it's costing me a bundle. So that doesn't do a whole lot. So this gentleman writes that he doesn't spend a lot of time online, and a lot of these pen pals, they don't. They just, that's one of the reasons that they're able to focus on this, because they, you know, you might be asking, well, why don't you have these pen pals, you know, just type up this stuff online? They don't want to go there. They don't want to be distracted. They want to focus on what they want to focus on and live their life. So That's why doing this by postal service is working a bit better than doing it online. That's why I'm sharing that with you. So, all right, so this is from episode 4, Captain Greg Gets Bent. I asked Milligan Hecubus, removing Tony's curse, how was the scene for you? Love the corporate hold for foreseeing the future. That about says it all, and the crickets for Santa is a nice touch. Yeah. Funny foreshadowing for the theme. Good evil laugh for Hecubus, the evil hench celebrity. Hecubus is like Marty Feldman on cocaine. Like I said, I haven't read this yet. You're getting the full keep my candid responses here. Whoops. That's, Tony and Carolyn's car ride. Lots of goodies there. Let me know about them. He says, love the background music and how it changes from sophisticated jazz to what I will call Petticoat Junction hillbilly in the blink of an eye. Love how Carolyn explains her almost maybe not quite relationship to the schoolmistress. Oh, that's right. For the ghost of Mrs. Muir. Yeah, because I was thinking it's like they had a school marm named Miss Stoddard. Like, I just, well, maybe it's a great aunt or something, but I never really went there. And I still could, you know, that was one of the reasons that I approached some Ghost of Mrs. Muir fans. They kind of mentioned that to me, but like I said, they've been quite shy for some time now. Yeah, they're getting a bit more enthusiasm for that fandom. Then he says, distracted away while I was a child is an interesting statement. Makes me want to know what was going on. Then I want to meet her. So I ask Wadsworth and Barnabas muse over Angelique's painting. They have a scheme devised. We are reliving Dark Shadows, but with a twist. How did you take to the exchange? And he says that he loves the scene. Barnabas' reliance on Wadsworth and the submissive reverence he has for him is fascinating. Wadsworth's understanding of his role in the relationship and his unused power is fascinating and says a lot about both characters. I like how they play off of their strengths and weaknesses. There is a symbiotic relationship here. They need each other and understand each other. In some ways, they can't function without each other. I like Wadsworth's approach to solving problems. The long way around is often the shortest way there. Very good. I love that. Okay. Like I said, you're getting candid. I hadn't read this yet. Still going. Tony and Carolyn meet Mrs. Muir at Nori's Lobster House in Schooner Bay. What do you fancy in this scene? Love the whole Ghost and Mrs. Muir theme. I like that show a lot. Hope Lange and Edward Mulhare. Carolyn's empathetic ability to pick up on Mrs. Muir's distress is very interesting. Carolyn, that's my name, is a bit airheadish. Well, that's the thing about Carolyn Stoddard, I think, and I'm saying this to you guys, is that her voice is so high-pitched. I did it that way. I probably did it too much that way. But it gives her this bubbly effect, and it's not necessarily what she's aiming for, Carolyn Stoddard. But it comes out that way. I like that after finding out Carolyn's name, she decided she prefers to be called Mrs. Muir. I like the juxtaposition between the importance of the painting in the last scene and now the painting in this scene. Could there be a connection? Really piqued my interest. Then I ask, Barnabas brings the painting to Sam Evans. Lots of interesting discussion here. Let me know what you picked up on. He says, Barnabas out during the day was very, very interesting. Barnabas wanting the portrait artificially aged is an interesting twist on the picture of Dorian Gray, like in the original program. It's interesting how he wants the stiffest bristles used, as if he wants the painting to suffer pain. Well, I think that's what part of the point was. Which makes me wonder if something else will be forced to suffer pain. Or maybe someone else. Interesting how Barnabas leads Sam into believing he knows the woman in the picture and desperately needs to do the work. It's as if Sam has become bewitched by the painting, just as at the same time Barnabas seems to be bewitched by Sam. Is there a connection between Sam and the woman in the picture and Barnabas? I like this scene a lot. So then, that's great. Let's see, this is just really, just so much. Tony and Carolyn arriving at Gull Cottage with Mrs. Muir. We get a few bits from Martha and some whispering from Mrs. Muir to you-know-who. Let me know what you like from here. The president's portraits deal is sure true, isn't it? He says, like how Martha seems to know about Collinsport or more than she lets on. Love the stormy weather and then the storm. Nice touch. Martha wanting the painting out of the house is noteworthy. Can she trust them and why? Good question. Maybe she feels they will never figure out the truth of the painting. So many sinister aspects to the paintings mentioned. So delicious. Thank you. And this is episode 4. Roger and Elizabeth's touching scene with Victoria's postcard. Let me know how you liked this one. This is very bittersweet. Roger is the one who needs to get away. Interesting hearing about how other people can so quickly remind one of how their life has not seemed to work out the way they wanted it, so they end up being very cynical about other people's lives. Very deep. Uh-oh, I say. Now we have Cassandra arriving and Wadsworth interrupting with his interludes. If this scene didn't crack you up, let me know why. If it did, the same. He's this LMFAO. Collinsport haunted by the ghost of Tim Curry. Oh, okay, good. He did pick up. That is absolutely priceless. That brought back a lot of memories from the first time I ever saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The scene was just perfect, too. The cut-ins to the ghost were so cool, and I couldn't stop laughing. So, and actually, you know, Dr. Frankenfurter, I had this, like, Mr. Hyde incarnation for episode 4 for Wadsworth. It's like, you know, maybe Wadsworth went off, was Dr. Frankenfurter for a while, kind of came back into his, Wadsworth's like, I mean, you just kind of leave it hanging, because that's the way Dark Shadows is anyway, right? And the last question I had for episode 4. And Tony with Carolyn switching the portraits. We have the reason I got into this mess. Save Sam Evans. How did you enjoy this segment and the lovely uplifting outro music? I like the scene, he says, and the traveling weather reminds me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Oh, sweet! Tony and Carolyn come in the nick of time. Yeah, Tony is a formal lech, if you ask me. Well, I don't know about that. But it's good to get the commentary, for sure. Ah, the plot thickens. The past intruding on the present, and luckily Tony and Carolyn see through it and save the day. Yes, thank you. Well done, and yes, I did enjoy the outro music. I just turned 56 last Wednesday, and all this nostalgia may be too much for me, but how I do love it. Oh, that. Oh, okay. Thank you, person who's, I won't mention their name. It's kind of a common name, but I don't want to mention it, just died. You know, I haven't asked about this. I mean, and I'm trying to, you know, keep everybody somewhat anonymous. That was good. Put that back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, you know, I think I'm just going to leave it there because that is a lot. But that's what I'm looking for, is that kind of thing, just to keep going. And, you know, I had some people that I shared a bit of episode 14 with. They let me know, yeah, I understand why you're not letting it loose. I mean, that. A lot of the stuff with Willie was extremely well done and extremely heart-wrenching as well. And yeah, so I understand where you're coming from. That's basically what they told me. About 3, maybe 4 people. So that's why you're not getting it. It's because doing it online, I mean, I just... It's like being, you know, one of those dreams where you can't find your clothes. You just, you know, you're just looking, is it worth it? Is it worth it to share it with all these strangers? Especially episode 12. That, actually, I do want to get to because I had a correspondence with somebody. That was, and she was curious how I did Greg's voice. And I'm not going to say who it is again. But I was really touched. And so what we did was she listened to parts of episode 12. Possibly most of it. She mainly wanted to hear some of the captain's voice that I did. And she knew what was going on with the regression therapy scene. And that was really hard. I mean, I really was wiped out from not getting enough responses there, or kind of getting scared responses. So what I did was I chatted with her on Skype while she listened. And the responses she had as we went along, as we were talking, as she was listening, you know, we were just typing a little bit here and there while she was listening. And that was gathered and put on Podomatic. That's why that comment is there, from 34 days ago. A great job on the captain's voice. I didn't know your voice could get so deep. Wow, almost broke my headphones with the captain's scream. I like how you make him sound so angry. And the way you do Josette's voice is really good. How you can sound both feminine and masculine at the same time, I will never understand. She says, kudos for great editing, and this really helped me a lot. So when Josette started crying, I felt so sad. It's so authentic. Good job. Now that really, I mean, it's not that much, but it was a lot more than I was getting, because a lot of people download that, and I just think, you know, that was such a hard performance. And I really, what happened was, if you've heard the intro to, I think it's episode 12, I had the biopsy done for the melanoma. And I realized, you know, it was just done so quickly, and I had the jitters, and it was just a local anesthetic, so I wasn't on any kind of opiates or anything like that. I wasn't on any twilight sleep or anything like that for the surgery. It was just the biopsy, and they, you know, removed just to test it to see if it was melanoma. So when I came home, I had the jitters, and I had started having cider just to calm down, and I thought, you know, this isn't, I gotta do the regression therapy scene. I've got the jitters, I've gotta put it somewhere. So that's why it came out better than maybe if I just geared up for it. I used what the biopsy had stressed me with, and I used that stress for the regression therapy with Maggie. So that helped a lot. And there's various other things that she said. But that happened because we were typing back and forth. It was a one-to-one contact that I had in the listening, which is what I would have preferred in this whole creation. If I had five people who would have joined me in my own neighborhood, I would never have put it online. I mean, or maybe they'd be like, hey, put it online, see what happens. I would have already had those people to back me up. And I sort of had one or two in some of the earlier days. And a lot of people, they're caught up. They can't get to it. And also with Podomatic, it costs money. So one of the suggestions that I have, if you want more online, is to, and I do this with Oisin's work, you either read the text on a screen, and a lot of the notes that I've taken for Oisin's work, as well as a few of the Addams Family, I've read the work while on my stomach, and I'm writing it, you know, like lying on my stomach, and I'm writing the notes, and then I type them up in a Word file or like a notepad or something. And when I'm happy with what I wrote, I go to the story on fanfiction.net, I copy what I've typed up, I paste it, and sort of reformat it, because sometimes when you do that, it doesn't separate the paragraphs, and it just makes you, I mean, if you're not a perfectionist, whatever, I don't care. And then I just put it in that way. Press review. So I've got a copy of what I'm writing about those stories, paying attention to, and then I don't have to worry about it. It's not a direct response. It's not a direct typing in. So with Podomatic, like I say, it costs money for the space, and you might be better off just going to a version of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows on fanfiction.net and putting your review there, wherever you want. It's a multi-fandom, so it doesn't matter where it is, just as long as I get it. And it looks like there's a lot of reviews, but some of those are me responding because I was so desperate and so excited and I wanted to talk to people and respond reviews. I mean, it's better if you just have an account and we can use their message system. So that is that. I was going to read some stuff from Auntie, but that's on the blog. It's already out there. Yeah, I think that wraps up reading of the non-online responses. So there you go. If this is where I'm getting the feedback, meaning letters, emails, or telephone calls, and it's great feedback, why would I want to push my work online? I'm not getting that much feedback here. Got a lot from Helena, getting more from Oisin. It seems almost longer than some of these postal letters now that I've made that effort. It's taken 3 years to get done what I have now, which I ought to have gotten in feedback over a year ago. And yes, people claim shyness, as is sung in The Smiths' How Soon Is Now. I am the son and the heir of a shyness that is criminally vulgar. And in that, I quote it for, the kind people aren't talking to each other. They aren't building better communities when we need them the most. It's the arrogant types who are mucking up the system. And apathy toward that snotty behavior isn't something I see as needing to be encouraged. So I'm saying, practice that kind of commentary on my work, especially if it's inspired you to write your own. I can't see why so many people have been inspired to write their own material and just get busy typing away. And you could, like Oisin and I, type our responses to each other. I mean, if you're already writing anyway, start, you know, writing the responses of what gave you that inspiration, which, as I've seen it, I've seen what happened from me doing this. Everybody starts to, they want to start writing. Okay, all right, I inspired you. Can you give some back, please, with that new writing talent that I helped to inspire you with? It seems kind of a fair trade-off, you know? So I'd say practice reviewing my work. And because for the most part, my work is fun. And if you tap into discussion on it, that could very well engender the quality of a very good habit in correspondence and give that to people who want it, other than me. some people don't care about commentary, but there are plenty that do want it. And I say Magical Irish Dolphin especially. She wants people to be on the journey with her. And I hope she's get. I haven't looked over a lot of the stuff. Secrets I still love. Music Box I still love. There were things that she told me about or that I heard about in Ode to the Witch. And she was very good. She said, hey, you know what? I appreciate what you're doing for me or what you've done for me. And you don't have to do that. And Helena's the same way. She's like, hey, like she started Complications. And she started Complications because she was inspired by some notes I wrote in Margaret Chaussette Dupre about Julia Hoffman. And that helped her to write a Barnabas Julia story that she hadn't done before. She mostly was doing the Regency period stuff. And because of what I wrote in Margaret Chaussette Dupre, she was able to start Complications. Now, I went partway through Complications, but I said, you know, I probably can only go partway. And she was very groovy about that and said, hey, I understand where you're coming from. It's okay. So that's wonderful. Yeah, people care about commentary. And I have to say, I think reviewing other people's work that you enjoy is likely a better use of your time than posting meme after meme after meme after share file on Facebook. I really think that it's that would be a better use of your time to support the arts of the things that you enjoy. That's the whole point of why I'm pushing this. Not just for me, for other people. That's why I did all the plugs. And why I continue to do some plugs. Also, one guest I noticed over at the Addams Family pile does a very good and unique thing. He or she sandwiches a little negative between two sets of positive. He or she says what they enjoyed and what they didn't enjoy, and then rounds it off with how good the work is, what potential was pleasing, and looking forward to the continuation. So the blow of any negative there isn't nearly as bad as rounding the commentary off with the negative. Just stack it somewhere in the middle. I notice Oshin does that as well. And it's not always a negative of somebody's skill, but more what the characters are doing, which is natural because the residents of Collinsport don't always make the best decisions. I have a chapter in Margaret Chaussette Dupre that is written by Sam Evans in first person. And she had this great response to one part of it. I wasn't particularly happy with Sam for drunk driving. I would have hoped he would avoid that. I don't think he was that drunk. I don't know. He was intoxicated, that's for sure. Given the experience witnessing the result of Roger, Burke, and Laura's drunk driving accident, I guess he had Sarah along to help make sure he didn't kill anybody, but he did admit that it wasn't a great idea, but still, I wish he hadn't done it, and he walked up to the old house with Sarah instead. Though Sam is not a character who is consistently known for making good choices, so I guess him choosing to drive at this point is consistent with his character. I just wish he hadn't chosen that. So it's that same pull, you know, a lot of reviews for people in Dark Shadows, you know, they kind of go down that element where they're still caught up in responding to the characters in that same way that we respond to the show. So that's part of the reviews I'm looking for, is that same thing. And that's why I say I know you got the chat in you, because I've been watching you guys talk and talk about the show, and all these characters, and why do they... And so in the fan work, the more popular fan work, that's what a lot of reviewers do. But when you got something as weird as what I'm doing, or romantic pairings that aren't popular in fan work, then you got everybody going, ooh, I don't know what to say. And they just say it this way, just like Oshin was saying about Sam's drunk driving. What you're experiencing. In any case, I want to go back to the idea of environment. I am hoping by that you understand why you've been listening to someone who is so rankled. Or seeing drunken rants in places. I usually put them on Tumblr because I'm just like, oh, that place. Oh my gosh. It's just, it almost seems built for that. Just throw up your angst over there. And I would like to stop that, honestly. The muse is not getting fed with silence and light clicks. On top of that, I've had to read so many harsh comments about Dark Shadows characters and scenes and irritants and people hating on Barnabas and dissing Chaussette Dupre. Just so much bickering. Why? Well, hardly anyone else was talking, and I'm trying to get the information I need. Meanwhile, I'm stuck working on everything, and I'm seeing all this horrid behavior. What's going to happen to someone when they're surrounded by that, going back to environment? It's going to come back. It's going to come back out if you're exposed to that all the time. People say ignore the negative. good sentiment, but not really attainable. Plus, I was told that year after year after year after year. And then those people sent me back into the negative repeatedly. Don't let the bullies bother you, but keep going to the schools that cater to them. Yeah. That's a great way to nurture a kid. And I'm sure a lot of you out there know exactly what I mean. My folks refused to make anything but the bare minimum change in my education. So even at 11 and 12, I was trying to do it myself. Calling schools, trying to find better places. I got into pen palling and found a person who knew independent studies. Got her diploma that way. Which usually was for the wayward or delinquents. I just thought, you know, back when I was little, you know, and later on in my teens. God in heaven! Do I have to freaking shoplift to get into these programs and get out of the mire? And you know, that's what I was thinking. I mean, the opportunity for my education was just so horrendous. I'm trying to find a way out. And I eventually did, but it took such a long time. And I tried one more school by freshman year, you know, after all that, freshman year of high school. Great students, that second high school I went to. Lousy administrators and teachers, minus maybe one or two. And I eventually got kicked out from too many sick days. Some weird thing with the transfer. Some, I don't know. And information on that going haywire between parents and administration. And then after a year of me being kicked out, you know, I was just on my own. Doing fairly much what I wanted to do. I mean, my older siblings were, they were dropouts anyway. So it was all of us pretty much. I think one brother was still going to school. And that was a special education. So that was a weird time. Then after a year, I got the help from that one pen pal. I actually got it from the pen pal in, it was some ads in a music magazine, and met her that way. And she was in my area, and she had taken independent study, so I got the information from her, dragged my mom through the bureaucracy of how to get it done, got independent studies until I was too old for that program. Then later on, I met who is now my husband, and hung out at his college. And another student in his dormitory showed me an adult education program. And then I got my damn high school diploma. So that's why I said, don't tell me about patience, y'all. And don't tell me how family is absolute. You've heard all of this stuff from me. Some of us have family that are downright detrimental to our beings, to the point we avoid them at all costs, just to maintain sanity. And as I've been telling people, my folks were and are the types with the potential of amazing creativity. However, I've watched their talents go unnurtured. And what happened to them? They're some of the most unhappy people I've ever known as a result. I do not want that to happen to me. So I'm going toward getting the feedback and getting those needs met. That's healthy. And that's my question to my hundreds, thousands of listeners now. I didn't want that many. Goodness sake. It's fairly well known that laboratory animals, rats especially, respond positively to positive stimulus and avoid negative stimulus. Now, if you give that critter random stimulus, like I've gotten most of my life, and in this project also, it either goes crazy or stops trying to get the food altogether. Complete apathy, just won't go anywhere. Ceases to be in any way active. And that's what's happened to me here. In fact, I'm thinking I should dump that gratitude podcast because I did that under the impression that I was going to finally be getting the needed feedback, and then it didn't happen. I kept producing episodes, waiting and waiting, and barely anyone I thanked in that gratitude podcast responded to the radio drama episodes. That is random stimulus. You think things are going to change for the better, and they don't really. So there you go. Story of my life. Every year of public schooling, now it's going to be different. And what happened? The same damn crap that happened the year before. Mm-hmm. Although, some of you do know I have a goal in mind. As I've discussed the program with fans and done my own research, the big continuity issues started to rankle most viewers of Dark Shadows around the time of the Leviathans. Now I figured in some old ideas, let the hosts throw a film reel of Dunwich Horror at them. And they may still. But then I looked over these guys. A pre-human race that wishes to repossess the Earth from the vantage point of Collinsport, Maine? Ah! That's a good culmination point to finish off with the Doctor. Really, who else is going to be that out there? But the journey still has to be taken to get there. Otherwise, Margaret She Said to Pray, or 200 years away, doesn't really happen. And so here we are, April 12th, 2015. And I found fanfiction.net with crappy equipment. Plunked down my first two episodes when? February 14th, 2012. Months before that film came out, which was Mother's Day of that same year. And they were very tight-lipped about what the story would be. Yes, they used humor. I use humor. But it's been easier to cope with because when you bring in the other spooky characters, there isn't much otherwise you could expect. I have already written the rough draft for two episodes in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows with the Doctor. My husband is a fan of both the old Doctor Who and the new Doctor Who program. Big fan. I performed the scenes I wrote, and he approved them as being very good for Doctor Who. However, that's why I mention it. I was listening to a demo of it, and the ghost of Caleb is demanding the Doctor to get his Uncle Barnabas back to now. The Doctor responds, "Yes, but how soon is now?" For people offline, now is slow, but it moves in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. As for the online crowd, it's up for you to answer. Take care. I am the sun and the air. Of a shyness that is criminally vulgar. I'm the surrender of nothing in particular. You shut your mouth, how can you say? Criminally vulgar. I'm the senator of nothing in particular. You shut your mouth, how can you say? I go about things the wrong way. I am human and I need to be loved, just like everybody else. You'd like to go. You could meet someone who really loves you. So you go and you stand on your own, and you leave on your own, and you go home and you cry and you want to die.
of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.
I'd never have believed it. You both, you all, actually care about old Willie Loomis?
Willie, how could we not?
Really? Well, all this I gotta see. I was worried this might happen. I suppose I'll get started on the release papers.
Thank you, Julia.
Well, maybe you can thank me later, if all of this turns out all right. There's a wise woman. Hardly, Mr. Evans. I may never play cribbage again.